Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Chewing Clock. My name is Dimitri Ravanis.
I'm Tyler McComas.
And so you've noticed a couple of changes. We've got a new theme song for 2019. We also have a new sponsor, which I am sort of in the process of getting the details about. So for the time being, for tonight only, we will jump in completely unsponsored. Tyler McComas, it has to have been, I don't know if tense is the right word for the way things have felt around Lincoln up until Lincoln Riley, or Lincoln, I'm sorry, up around Norman until Lincoln Riley signed that contract extension. But now that he signed that contract extension, it does seem like he is 100% dedicated to returning to Oklahoma, at least in the near future. What were your feelings before that deal got done? Was there any reason to really be nervous that he might walk away?
I mean, I didn't think so. I mean, there's nothing that he ever said that made you believe that he was really going to pursue the NFL. All that talk came from everybody else.
Right.
You know, guys who actually cover teams and teams saying that they would be interested in him. Lincoln Riley gave you every single indication that he was going to be back in Oklahoma for the near future. So unless it was the Dallas Cowboys, his childhood favorite team, and I still wouldn't have been concerned about that. I just never thought that there was the chance that he was going to, you know, take the jump to the league.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think all the buzz was less about the buzz was less about what Lincoln Riley had accomplished and what we think about his fit in the NFL, and more about he fits the mold of what the trend is in what people want out of an NFL coach right now, right? Offensive minded, young, really good with players. And it seems to be like tried to remember who had this report. It was on Twitter earlier today where someone had talked to a very accomplished NFL defensive coordinator, wanted to go unnamed in this. But he said basically now the quality control guy on Sean McVay's staff has a better chance of getting a head coaching job in the NFL than he does. And we think, like, we definitely think of Lincoln Riley in that way, right? Young, smart. If he succeeds, he could be in that job for a long, long time. Lincoln Riley, though, is a little more understandable than the other name we've heard, which is Cliff Kingsbury, who initially, he is now the offensive coordinator at USC, was the head coach at Texas Tech up until last month. Initially, he was blocked from interviewing with NFL teams, but now it looks like he has interviewed with the Jets. He will interview with the Arizona Cardinals, and this one is way more inexplicable.
Dimitri, what has he ever done as a head coach that warrants getting interviews or a chance to be an NFL head coach? The guy was under five games under 500 at Tech.
Yeah.
And I get it. Tech hasn't just had successful coach after successful coach, but Mike Leach won a lot of games in Lubbock. Hell, Tommy Tuberville won more games in Lubbock, or had at least had a better winning percentage.
I saw this stat on SB Nation, because you're right. Like, it's not like Texas Tech has a long history of dominance in the Southwest Conference, Big 12, whatever. But every coach for the previous 30 years was more successful than Cliff Kingsbury was.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. There's nothing. And he had all these great offenses, and they never equated to wins. So everybody's like, well, they just want his system. Cliff Kingsbury isn't the only guy out there that has a good offensive system. And even if he did have a good often equate to a whole lot of wins. So if you want a system, why would you not just hire him as an offensive coordinator? What are you getting with him as a head coach that you wouldn't get with an OC?
Well, look, I mean, you can see that the teams that are interviewing him for head coaching position, it's really no coincidence the Cardinals who will have the first pick of the draft and the Jets who are just perennially find a way to screw up a good thing. I assume my Buccaneers will be interviewing him any day now because they fit that mold as well. This brought up a really interesting conversation that I've had with a few friends, both on the radio and just, BSing over lunch. What does it even take now, or what is the criteria now, might be the better question, for being qualified to make the jump from the NFL to college, from college to the NFL, rather? Because you don't hear Saban's name anymore, although he's the most accomplished college coach of all time, and I think that has to do with A, age, and B, he's already turned it down before. You don't hear Dabo's name very much. I think that has to do with Dabo being, like, just cut out to be a college coach. I don't know how he would exist in a world where he doesn't have total control over his players' lives. But those two guys are super accomplished, and they're not the names we're hearing NFL teams banging down the door to want to interview.
I guess you just got to be young and viewed as very innovative offensively. In hot demand right now, Lincoln Riley and Cliff Kingsbury, right? Because you said it. Nick Saban's the best head coach in the game right now. He's not getting interest. Same with Dabo. Tom Herman's a good head coach, yeah, but he's not viewed as innovative offensively, so he's not getting those looks. I guess to me, I can't figure out anything else unless you've been to the NFL before, because Jim hardly he came from the NFL. If you're not that guy, then unless you're viewed as somebody who can change their offense around and bring in a new and exciting, you know, kind of offense to the league, I guess that you're not going to be viewed as one of those dudes.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? You have to be viewed as a guy that is, I guess, at the forefront of innovation or on the front lines of innovation, yeah, because certainly Dabo and Saban have been very open to up-tempo innovative offenses. They've been open to way more substitutions on defense, and they've very much fallen in line with the trends to make their teams better, but that's what they've done. They've fallen in line with the trends. And on the NFL level, I do think that we are getting to this point where part of the reason that you hear the name Lincoln Riley, part of the reason you hear the name Cliff Kingsbury, is because on that NFL level, we're kind of, I don't know if we're tapped out on those guys, those young offensive minds, but we're tapped out on the ones whose names we knew, who we knew were going to be head coaches someday, because the criteria really limits the pool of feeling like you won the press conference or won the offseason with the hire.
Like, it will not surprise me at all if we're sitting here a year from now, and if Nebraska has a great year and puts up big offensive numbers out of nowhere, that we're talking about Scott Frost. Because he almost fits into the same criteria that we're talking about. Young, and maybe does some different things offensively that people are going to go crazy about.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I said that I think in this year in particular, given the fact that 5 of the 8 coaches of color were fired in the NFL, I'm really surprised a guy like Dino Babers isn't getting a lot of run at an NFL job, because he's sort of the same thing, right? Like, if Syracuse puts together another 10-win or even another 9-win season, you got to start looking at that guy as, like, he's accomplished amazing things that most coaches at that school don't accomplish. And he has every single aspect of that players, coach, cheerleader type of guy in the locker room that it seems like we kind of want now in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, we used to get into that retread hire so much in the league, right? Where,
I mean, look, Bruce Arians is probably going to be the head coach of the Buccaneers. Mike Munchak was mentioned. Was it for Denver? I mean, we're not out of that realm.
Like, guys like Jim Fossil, who you're like, hey, has he coached like 18 different teams in the league? Maybe about it. Clearly, NFL teams are trying to think outside the box a little bit. And I can understand Lincoln Riley, who clearly has had a great offense, but has also won a lot of games. He has proven something as a young head coach. Mm-hmm. And I don't get it with Cliff, man. I really don't. I mean, I sat there up close, and what was he there at Tech for 5 years or so? And he never won more than 7 games, I believe. Right. And there's just, you know, I didn't feel like, whoa, you know, Cliff Kingsbury outcoached this guy tonight. There's no doubt. I don't understand why you would hire him as your head coach. I don't think it'll work out if he does get hired by the.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that he is. I'm not going to call him a bad coach, or let me put it this way. I'm not going to say he cannot get better. But I don't think the NFL, especially these teams that want to interview him, are the kind of places where you can both learn on the job and turn things around. Steve Wilkes didn't, you know, he might have learned on the job to be an NFL head coach. He certainly did not turn things around for Arizona, and he was out the door after a single season. So, I don't really know what people expect from a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, should he go to the NFL. The other thing that I sort of have been thinking about with these hires or I guess requests for interview from NFL looking for college guys, do you think that the recruiting aspect of college works against guys that might want to look at jumping to the NFL. And I bring that up because that was one of the things that Nick Saban talked about as why he did not like working with the Dolphins, as there was no chance to sort of outwork and get better players because of how much work you put into it. And that is something he succeeds at in college. And I wonder if we look at the low ceiling for him in the NFL versus seemingly the endless, the completely ceiling-free room he is in college football, and say, if you could recruit, you might not be cut out to deal with the realities of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, I mean, I would think college coaches maybe are a little bit more control freaks because they are the judge, jury, executioners. Yeah. They're the GMs. They're the head coaches. I mean, they're everything. They make all the final decisions. Now, there might be an AD that has their hand or has a say in an assistant coach hiring or firing, but for the most part, you control everything around your program, including your roster. And clearly in the NFL, you don't. I mean, there's a guy that's higher of that for you. So that's got to be a little bit maddening for some guys, I imagine. And especially if we want to bring up Nick Saban, he wanted Drew Brees in Miami, correct?
Right.
Isn't that pretty well documented?
Right. His medical staff wouldn't clear him.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and what you're talking about guys liking being judge, jury, and executioner, there are two dudes who are accomplished. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like they're not accomplished, but for that reason, I could never see them leaving college football. One of them, Brian Kelly, gets talked about all the time. Like, every NFL coaching cycle gets talked about, and I can't ever see Brian Kelly talking to a professional adult man the way he talks to his own players. And the other is Dabo. And I mean, look, Dabo has the image of being a very, you know, goofball players kind of coach, but make no mistake, Dabo likes being in charge. And so I can't imagine either of those two guys, no matter what they continue to do at their current jobs, ever being realistic candidates to succeed, let's say, in the NFL.
Would Brian Kelly still be a scumbag and send up somebody in a tower that's blowing with the wind blowing 60 miles an hour, whatever? But yeah, I mean, Brian Kelly clearly not cut out for the NFL. Like, maybe if Nick really wanted to go back and do it, right? If he really wanted to, I don't think I could be wrong about this. I don't think that he'd have to change just because he has that instant respect when he walks through the door, right? It's like, okay, this guy, I know what he's all about already. He's won a lot. He deserves to be like that. But Brian Kelly, not so much, right? Brian Kelly kind of comes on as a little bit of an asshat. He hasn't done too much to garner respect. So, yeah, I mean, Nick could do it, but a guy like Brian Kelly, you're right, no chance.
Yeah, Brian Kelly, anytime he's had a chance to be on the biggest stage of college football, he has lost by at least 20 points each time. Yep. And that probably sticks with some guys. And that's the other thing, too, is I wonder how coaches are going to respond to a Cliff Kingsbury walking in their locker room as the head coach, not as the OC. I just wonder what that would look like when you know the track record of that guy coming in. But that being said, Jim Caldwell, in three seasons as Wake Forest head coach, won all of three games. So it's not like with some coaching or with some experience, you can't get better as a coach and find your groove in the NFL, even if you couldn't find it in college. But think about how long we went between Jim Caldwell, coach of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, to Jim Caldwell, coach of the Indianapolis Colts. It was a good 15, 20 years.
And my question, too, with Cliff is he just going to be a different version of Texas Tech? Is he going to try to win the Texas Tech air raid system with NFL players? Because I'm sorry, but I don't necessarily think that would work.
Would he run into the war room and immediately slam the phone down whenever they were calling in a draft pick of a defensive player?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's like, what are we doing? Draft this wide receiver out of Bowling Green. Like, what do you guys do? We got to load up on wide receivers and running backs. What are we doing here? Yeah, you kind of are who you are as a coach. And again, if you want to, I respect Cliff's offensive mind. I do. I think he's a really good offensive mind. Clearly, he's had a good reputation with quarterbacks. The dude knows what he's doing on the offensive side.
Yeah,
but that's it. I mean, there's no demeanor that's the head coach. Hire him as an OC, but not as a head coach.
All right, that's where we will put a pin in it for today. Obviously, this is the morning after the college football championship game that you're hearing this, but we wanted to get this recorded, edited, and sent off to the folks at Armchair before the game kicked off, so we will do a much more in-depth breakdown on tomorrow's show. He's Tyler McComas. I'm Demetri Ravanas. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Chewing Clock.
one.